Zacchaeus and Jesus. Jesus came to Jericho and was passing through. So often on journeys in car and train, we pass through and do not stop to explore and appreciate. I recently travelled part of the M5 motorway, Bristol, Weston-super-Mare, Bridgewater, Taunton. But we didn't see them, we just bypassed them. They were signs on the roadside or above us on the motorway. We passed by such places. I believe Jesus had no intention of passing through Jericho that day. He was here to meet someone who needed him. Yet that person had no idea or reason to believe that Jesus would seek him out. Why should he? They had never met before, as far as we know. The person that Jesus wanted to meet was Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus also wanted to see Jesus, insomuch that he climbed a tree so that he could see over the crowd. Zacchaeus was not very tall, so he found a vantage point up a sycamore tree. A tree strong enough that its branches would support a fully grown man, albeit a short man. Two things I thought about at this point were, imagine a man in mid-Eastern dress, in Jewish dress, climbing a tree. I would think all the robes and the baggy pants and everything would get in the way as you tried to climb a tree. I would want just a pair of jeans and something if I was going to climb a tree, but I'm not likely to anyway. And imagine a man of Zacchaeus' profession and age up a tree. If you were walking by the wreck one day and you saw your local doctor up the tree, you'd think, huh? Or if our Methodist minister was seen halfway up one of those trees, we would, hmm? Oh well, perhaps he knows something we don't. But Zacchaeus climbed a tree. Although a man fully grown and a man of his profession, he climbed a tree at his age. The tree gave Zacchaeus height to see Jesus, but also it gave him cover, I think, and camouflage, so others may not see him up that tree. For he'd gone ahead of the crowd, it said, and climbed that tree before Jesus and the crowd arrived, so that he was in position, possibly there without anybody twigging up the tree. When our children, Russell and Heather, were much younger, especially our daughter Heather, they often had rides on my shoulder, not together, I might add, one at a time. We recently found a photograph of Heather when we think she was about 10, and she was on my shoulders, and it was at Sandringham Flower Show, and she was trying, like Zacchaeus, to look over the crowd to see the royalty at Sandringham Flower Festival that day. And she often bent down when we were out for a walk, as much as to say, come on, Dad, piggyback or on your shoulders. No wonder I suffer from backache these days. But it was worth it. It was worth it. Like any dad, you do things like that, don't you? Who was Zacchaeus? And why did he go to all that trouble to want to see Jesus? Well, we are told that he was a chief tax collector, very wealthy, working for the Roman authority who occupied the country. He had worked hard to build his seedy but highly profitable lifestyle, but he would have sacrificed greatly on the way to get where he was, losing his social status, losing friends in his community, and he became one of the despised Roman lackeys working for the Romans who occupied the country. So that's who he was. But why did he want to see Jesus? Well, I believe because of his ill-gotten wealth. That hadn't bought him any friends. In fact, he'd lost friends through it. It hadn't bought him comfort, peace of mind, and certainly not peace of spirit. His conscience troubled him daily, and he sought relief from his money-grabbing ways. But where would that relief come from? Certainly not from his own community or religious leaders, who saw him as a thief and a traitor, a sinner. A sinner. Could Jesus, son of a carpenter who had lived in Nazareth and been on the road as a teacher, as a rabbi, only a few months, bring any comfort, relief, salvation to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was desperate to see. We know how desperate in the way he abseiled down the tree, but I've gone ahead of myself, haven't I? Yes, Zacchaeus did abandon his perch up that tree in his hiding place there among the leaves, but only after Jesus called him by name. Zacchaeus. That must have seemed weird and yet wonderful to Zacchaeus. Jesus, the rabbi, called me by my name. It wasn't many weeks ago, I can't remember where I was, but I was outdoors somewhere, either in the town or at Sainsbury's, and someone said, "Oh, hello, Brian," and I turned round, but they were on their mobile. They were talking to someone on their mobile. I thought they were talking to me. They used my name. I thought, yes? Ah, but no, it's not me. It's another Brian. In half term, as I said, we went down the M5 motorway. We'd gone to Cheltenham to our sons for the night, and then he took his car and I took my car, and we made the journey from Cheltenham down to Devon. We stayed nearly a week. The purpose of the trip was that I would see my two brothers, who are older than me and not in the best of health. I left home when I was 17 and haven't lived back there since. I've gone back when Mum and Dad were alive in that little village in mid-Devon. But as I say, since 17, I haven't lived there. I've lived in other places, mainly in East Anglia, only going back to see Mum and Dad. And I haven't been back for a few years, and I desperately wanted to see my two brothers, because although you speak on the phone, you're not absolutely certain how they are. And by the sound of things, it wasn't too good, and so I needed to go and to see my two brothers. And that was good. We spent time together. One day we were up in the village. We went to the village square, where there is still one grocery store, as I would call it, and I can remember when there were four dotted around the village, and now they've got one, but at least they have one, and they still have a butcher shop, and they still have a post office. So compared to many villages, they are blessed. But we were in this little supermarket place in the village, and Jen had gone off with the little basket to pick up one or two provisions, and I was just looking, and someone said, "Hello, Brian." And I thought, yes. And I turned, and this lady stood. She said, "Hello, how are you?" I said, "Fine." And I was looking at her face and I thought, yeah, I do sort of recognise you, but yet she said, "Marcia." "Ah, that's what I said, Marcia King, you used to live down the lower road." "Yes," she said, "but it's no longer King. I've got married all years ago and I don't live down the lower road anymore." But she knew my name after all these years, and she wasn't in what I would say my close group, as it were. But yes, I could just picture her, "Marcia, Marcia King." And from there, we went to the community centre, and one or two other people recognised me. "Hello, Brian, how are you?" And I thought, I haven't changed. I'm still that youthful-looking 17-year-old or whatever it was they remember. I don't know. But to call me by my name is something, isn't it? When people call you by your name, you just go to another level, doesn't it? That they remember your Christian name and they use that. Jesus called Zacchaeus by his name. Wow. Never met. How did he know my name? He saw me up the tree. He called me by my name. I imagine that the little tax collector was tensed at that time. Wow. Wow. He was so tensed, it was like Brian Ellicott in the English class at grammar school when the English teacher said, "Ellicott, you start reading Henry V, will you?" I'm thinking, oh no, not Henry V out loud in this class, and I would tense up. You know, you can imagine. I don't know whether you had that experience at school, but I certainly did. I tried to hide away up that sycamore tree, as it were, and hide behind, but they knew, didn't they, these teachers? "Ellicott, you can start reading, please." Oh, no. Right. The little man had been a cheat, causing misery to many other people. And Jesus had stopped, seen him in the leafy tree, and called his name. Like me this evening, he broke into a sweat, I think. He broke into a sweat. I remember the song we used to sing more often then than now. Sorry, not that one. This is a song we sung the other Sunday morning, which I didn't know. It said, "Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me?" It's amazing. I didn't know that one when we sung it here the other Sunday morning. Who am I that you are mindful of me? What a wonderful truth. Jesus was mindful of Zacchaeus, but he's also mindful of you and me. Every day, every night, whatever our condition, whatever our circumstances, he's mindful of you and he's mindful of me. Jesus said, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Well, the last count, mine were down a bit, but that's how much he knows us. That's how much, but he doesn't just know us. But he cares for us. He loves us. He died for us. That's how much he knows us. That's how much he wants to get to know us more. Zacchaeus, come down. The psalmist said in that Psalm 138, "When I called, you answered me." The psalmist may have called out loud, but Zacchaeus was calling silently in his heart and in his spirit. He wanted help. He wanted relief. He wanted salvation. He wanted to change from his money-grabbing ways. But he didn't know how he could do that. He didn't know who could give him help. But Jesus was aware of all the circumstances of Zacchaeus. He knew his name and was conscious of his need. And that is true of each one of us. And of all people. God in Jesus calls us by name and shows the measure of his love for each of us. Zacchaeus hurries down from the tree. When Jesus invites himself to tea at his house, Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus gladly. I wonder what the reaction of Mrs. Zacchaeus was. "Hello, what you done now? Who are all these people? Did Jesus come alone? Did he come with his disciples? How many cups and saucers have I got? Have I got enough milk? Have I got enough? Oh boy, what have you been and done now, Zacchaeus?" You can imagine, can't you? I don't know. Perhaps she was calm and, "Oh yes, come in." I don't know. Never know, do we? What did Mrs. Zacchaeus think to it? Not a happy bunny? Or was she a happy bunny? We don't know. But Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house and Zacchaeus welcomed him gladly. A song says, this is the one I was trying to think of, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought." When Jesus came into my heart. Zacchaeus could have written that song after his meeting with Zacchaeus. I have light in my soul, for which long, long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. For change did come to Zacchaeus that day, and Jesus called it salvation, salvation. Change came as a result of joy and a shared meal. Finally, Zacchaeus loosened his grip on his wealth and his ill-gotten gains, and he begins to live open-handedly. The one who grabbed now gave. He gives back way beyond what is required of him. I mentioned Heather on my shoulders at Sandringham. When a member of the royal family meets and speaks to a member of the general public, the press and others want to know what was said, don't they? What did she say to you? What did he say to you? Especially when the Duke of Edinburgh, bless him, is involved, for he has a reputation of making sometimes the strangest of remarks. But when I met him at Cambridge University Press a few years ago, that wasn't the case. But I just had to say I'd met him, you see, this evening. Yeah, I have met him, yes, I've met royalty, yes. But people are fascinated by what royalty say, don't they, to the members of the general public. Of course they are, of course they are. What I would like to know is what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. Doesn't say in the Bible what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. I know from the Gospels what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You must be born again. And the conversation that went on between Nicodemus and Jesus, we've got that well listed, haven't we? And the woman at the well, we know what conversation went on between the woman at the well and Jesus. For their conversations have been well documented in the Gospels and expounded on. But what did Jesus say to Zacchaeus? Would you like to know? I certainly would like to know, but I won't this side of eternity. I certainly would, because of the effect that it had on Zacchaeus, by his response and promises, giving half of his money to the poor and paying four times over anyone he'd cheated, which he obviously had. Perhaps it wasn't what Jesus said, but just that Jesus went to Zacchaeus's home and was there for him. Jesus made time for Zacchaeus. Perhaps there's a lesson there. It's not necessarily what we say all the time. It's making time for a person. Despite his lifestyle and unpopularity, salvation came to Zacchaeus' house that day. Our psalm today ended by David saying to God, "Do not abandon the works of your hand." The psalmist need not have feared, for Jesus said, "Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Do not abandon the works of your hand. Don't worry. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek even up a sycamore tree. But we also read in that story, didn't we, that just like today, there were those who would criticize Jesus' decision to mix with and have time for certain members of society because of their past or their present lifestyle. We've just watched Songs of Praise, and they were over in Spain, and they weren't town pastors, they were angels, weren't they, going out. Did you see Songs of Praise? Yeah, they were angels going out amongst the nightclubbers and doing what Jesus would do, being there to to help if need be, to talk if need be, but just being there on his behalf as his representatives to those who might need help at that time. But there are those who would criticize, why bother? If they've got drunk, let them go, it's up to them. One of the angels said that in tonight's program. Yes, you'll always find criticism when people seek to do good, when people seek to pick up another's life. James, in his letter, chapter 2 and verse 1, says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Treat all people the same." And Jesus calls us, by his own example, to love our neighbor as ourselves, whoever that neighbor is and whatever that neighbor has been. Jesus bids us to seek out and bring to him whoever and wherever. He knows them already and appreciates their circumstances and needs. He can have a hand. We can have a hand, you see, like next door has, the people who've come in there in those 30 years. We can have a hand in bringing salvation to someone, as Jesus sought out and saved Zacchaeus that day in Jericho. Jesus had no intention of passing through. He came for a purpose. He made time for Zacchaeus, for he knew his need. What he said, we don't know. But it changed Zacchaeus' life. A prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to yourself. In your name, may we be open-hearted and all-welcoming to others who seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.